like free trade deals. Again and again, he has told Americans that the reason for their economic distress, particularly for the decline of manufacturing industry, is the deals that previous administrations have signed. Such things have been said, of course, before by American politicians, but never, at least not since the Second World War, by a man who is becoming president. In a speech in June, he called NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement between the US, Canada, and Mexico, the worst trade deal in history, and said that under his leadership, America would either get a better deal or withdraw from it altogether.
I'm going to tell our NAFTA partners that I intend to immediately renegotiate the terms of that agreement to get a better deal by a lot, not just a little, by a lot for our workers. And if they don't agree to a renegotiation, which they might not, because they're so used to having their own way. Not with Trump. They won't have their own way.
And China was another frequent target. In another campaign speech, he said China's terms of trade with the United States were unfair and harmed the U.S. economy, and that he would turn it around.
We have a $500 billion deficit, trade deficit with China. We're going to turn it around, and we have the cards. Don't forget, we're like the piggy bank that's being robbed. Because we can't continue to allow China to rape our country, and that's what they're doing. It's the greatest theft in the history of the world.
Yanis Varoufakis is on the line, former Greek finance minister, founder of the Democracy in Europe movement, and so is Dame Diane Julius, the American-British economist, former member of the Bank of England's Monetary Policy Committee. Morning to you both.
Yanis
Varoufakis, first of all, when he talks about the effect of free trade deals on working class communities, is he at least partly right?
Trump often is partly right, but this is a problem that the mix between the points that are valid that he makes and the toxic rhetoric is such that the quality of the public debate is extremely low.
What are the valid points?
Well, median incomes in the United States have hardly grown since the 1970s. Median wages have actually fallen, if you take into account housing and health costs. McKinsey reported recently that between 2004 and 2015, 81% of American families have seen their income stagnate or fall. The income inequality has, as we all know, deteriorated to scandalous levels. And there's also something quite pernicious happening in the labor market. The quality of jobs has declined, security of jobs has fallen. And indeed, between 2000 and 2015, around 3%, which is a very large percentage, of people between the ages of 25 and 54 have actually fallen through the cracks of the labor market, they've disappeared.
And that's the problem, isn't it? That although free trade, you could still argue, benefits an entire nation and indeed the entire world and leads to economic growth and all the rest of it, there are individual communities who do suffer, and there hasn't been enough done, you could argue, to protect them.
Well, I think there are two points here. First of all, Trump wrongly blames trade for the problems of low wages and communities that are not doing well economically. Most of the economic studies have shown that it's really technological change in manufacturing that has destroyed jobs, and that's happened as a share of employment in virtually every country, whether they're a big trader or not. So it's the substitution of machine technology for labor-intensive production that is really at fault, and there's no way to reverse that, nor would one want to. I think the other issue is that while it is true that trade is not a universal positive for every community and every worker, for all consumers, it is a positive. Consumers benefit from the lower prices that come from trade, but they often don't recognize that that's the source. And I think the difficulty with Trump's rather dangerous ideas about trade is that it would involve unwinding all of the supply chains that American companies have with their trading partners, not just in Mexico and Canada, their biggest trading partners, but also in China for companies like Apple. It would be very bad for the world economy if the U.S. actually became heavily protectionist.
What do you think the impact would be for us all, Yanis Varoufakis, if Trump were to follow through on at least some of what he's promised to?
Well, he himself has asked us, thankfully, not to take seriously what he's been saying prior to the election. But I think that there is a valid point here. And look, this is not about free trade. criticizing free trade agreements is not to criticize free trade. I am a free trader. I am livid against agreements like TTIP, and I have some respect for the criticism of NAFTA. The contest is not about free trade. It's about the freedom of profits from the free trade to move about unimpeded, to be immune to taxation, and to end up idle in certain tax havens like Ireland, for instance, too scared to become invested anywhere in the world, and to blame it on technological, blame the ill effects of this on technological impact is effectively to fly in the face of reality.
Dan Julius, looking at it from that wide perspective, if you look at Trump as being the mouthpiece now, the person who has put into voice people's dissatisfaction, not just with free trade agreements, not just with free trade, but with a system that seems to be rigged against them, then whatever he's said and whatever he actually manages to do, he is going to have to deliver part of this, isn't it? Because it is fundamentally what has propelled him to the White House.
Well, I think, first of all, it's completely wrong to conflate trade agreements with taxation on profits. I mean, there are two completely different things.
But in people's mind, they are conflated, aren't they?
Profit regime from the other. Well, yes, that in people's minds, they're looking for a scapegoat. They're looking for someone to blame for the fact that many people have not seen a rise in household income for a long time. Trade has been one of the things they're picking on. But the difficulty that Trump will have is that he can certainly renegotiate or indeed withdraw the U.S. from NAFTA, but that's not going to solve the problem of income inequality. He is not going to be able to solve that because it's a much deeper problem, and it has to do with the tax system, which in the U.S. is not very redistributive. It is not a Scandinavian-type system, and Trump has certainly not been talking about raising taxes on the wealthier people and increasing the social welfare net, and that sort of thing is the only thing that would actually change household income levels.
Final word, Yanis Varoufakis, as someone on the left, do you fear Trump?
Of course I fear Trump. On the other hand, the establishment brought its own demise about simply by being in denial, as we just heard. You know, it's anyone's prerogative to be in denial of the facts, but trade agreements have embedded within them clauses that allow capital to do whatever it wants. And the fact of the matter is you can have free movement in goods and free movement in people, which I want to see, but you can't have free movement in goods, free movement in capital and in people without any kind of imposition upon capital of an obligation either to invest into productive technologies or to be taxed.
Okay, we've got to leave it there. Yanis Varoufakis and Dame Deanne Julius as well. Thanks both.